Stay a while. Stay forever.
Hello and welcome to News Trash, the weekly episode of content here on the YouTube, in which we look at the events of the past week from the video game world and pass comment on it like a bunch of kids gossiping at the back of a classroom. My name is Rob, and as ever, I have also been joined by Rob, who is here to read the news. Hello there, Rob.
Hello. How are you all?
I'm good. Got Xbox Series X, which was very weird for a terminal PlayStation fan. I'm not going to call myself a fanboy because that's silly, but it was weird. Very weird.
Well, you're not really a boy, you're a man, but, you know, a fan man is a bizarre term.
It sounds like a superhero with a really weird power set.
You know, one of those Japanese folding fans or Chinese folding fans. It's like, just give them a coquettish look. wave your fan at them.
I can't really top that. That's kind of, as far as fan man goes, that's ultimate. It's the ultimate dream. But
he is the world's most coquettish man.
We were off last week, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
Because there wasn't any news, and it seems that the video game news world went, hang on, we better fix that. And then just dropped a ton of stuff. That we obviously can't cover all of it because it'd be like a two-hour show, and nobody wants that.
I mean, obviously, we have to start off with the elephant in the room, which is PlayStation's big reversal. We knew it was going to happen. We expected it to happen. And it has happened, you know. What's his name? Ryan? Jim Ryan? Jack Ryan? What is
Jim,
his name?
Jim Ryan. I think Jack Ryan's Tom Clancy creation.
Yeah, I was going to say Jim Ryan was never that cool.
Neither was Jack Ryan, actually, but yeah. Jim Ryan wrote like a thing on the one platform which apparently Sony are okay making news announcements on, the PlayStation blog, really bringing it back to 1997 there. They're going to put on the MySpace page next to it. And they said that basically they realised they made a mistake in closing down the PS3, PS Vita and PSP store. They're still closing the PSP store, but the Vita and the PS3 have a little bit more life left in them yet. But at the end of the day, this is good news, but it's not the best news because nothing's changed. Nothing's really changed.
It's good news, but not the best news. You are right. One of the reasons that I would say it's not the best news is because in terms of PlayStation, in terms of the PlayStation 3 especially, backwards compatibility can work on the PlayStation 5 if they actually got it working properly. And you could emulate PlayStation 1 and 2 games quite easily through the PlayStation Store. Hmm. They managed to do it for the PlayStation 3, and some of them even worked on the PlayStation 4, yeah?
Yeah.
And the problem is PlayStation 3 games probably won't work on the PlayStation 5, will they?
Well, no, it's the cell architecture, but just to loop around to what I was getting at, I mean, he said that he's going to keep the PS3 and PS Vita store open, but they'll still end up being closed. It's just a matter of time now. But
yeah,
when it comes around to closing, it comes to the issue what you're talking about. How are they going to maintain these games, like history, rather than just putting them in a big warehouse in a massive unmarked box with all of Indiana Jones' other tidbits?
Yeah, which, you know, is a big thing. But it also comes to the Impossible Mission episode we did on the second part of the future of games ownership, which, you know, is a much bigger issue for me.
Yeah, link in the top right for YouTube viewers, yeah.
Yeah. Who actually owns the digital rights to the things that you buy online? Now, the reason I bring this up is because there's a recent court case which involves Apple, right? And what happened was a guy is taking Apple to court because Apple have basically cancelled his Apple ID, and so he has lost $25,000 worth of content that he's purchased.
Bloody hell.
Through his Apple ID, and that's all gone now, so he's taking Apple to court over that.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So a large corporation having the right to basically turn off the tap on this content, meaning you no longer have the right to it.
What this really brings to the focus, there's a little bit more time to solve it and figure it out, but what this brings to the focus is essentially they need to come to a conclusion about what the strategy is, what the idea is, so that digital games have a lifetime which is eternal, rather than just until the next machine rolls around, because there's this C-bomb issue that's going around, but I doubt we'll go into that.
The CMOS bomb issue, it is an issue, but you're also talking about a battery, which, you know, if it's the CMOS battery and if it's one of those small watch battery things, then it can be replaced.
Hmm. But the point is, they need to find a solution to long-term longevity of where digital games are and how you can keep all of your purchases. Because that's like the real big issue facing games at the moment.
Yeah. That whole thing with games ownership is, you know, it's one of those things that I still don't see people talking about, even though it's starting to become more and more of an issue. And Jim Ryan he's not actually said the PlayStation 3 and the Vita stores are going to be permanently open.
Which they're not going to, let's be fair.
If I remember the wording in the article, for now was the term that I focused on.
Yeah, give it a few years and yeah.
The PSP store being closed, I can kind of understand that. And my advice to people would be, hey, buy up as many physical copies of PlayStation portable games as you can, because they're going to go through the roof.
And if you can, get a couple of handset, get a couple of models, so you got like a backup as well to store all your games on.
Yeah, because there's going to be a lot of value in those little consoles. They're great little consoles as well.
It's a pity that they didn't continue on with it, but I think that's a topic for like an individual impossible machine to talk about PlayStation's handheld department.
Yeah. On the back of that though, it's time for Sony's belly dance.
The belly dance did there. What was this belly dance?
The belly dance is that Sony are basically trying to copy Amazon and become, you know, one thing for everybody. Because
I'm not sure I agree with your take on it. Well, I'll let you explain yourself.
I'll explain. Amazon don't just do Amazon Prime, right? Prime Video. They also do Amazon Games, and you've got Twitch on Amazon as well. Sony's trying to do that as well, by adding video and TV content to their PlayStation Plus.
Well, let's just clarify this. This was leaked from PlayStation Poland, which there's a PlayStation Plus video pass in which it has access to 3 specific titles. I can't remember off the top of my head. And there's references to a further 20 in which are becoming a added benefit of being a PlayStation Plus subscriber, which is down the line. They're trialing it in Poland now, like I said. Now, what I appreciate about this is Microsoft are a huge $1 trillion company, one of the biggest top 5, I think, companies in the world. So they have an awful lot of money to throw at a service like Game Pass, pay for companies to put their stuff on Game Pass, finance games through Game Pass and give them sort of a platform to security through that platform. Sony can't do that. But at the same time, Sony has access to things that Microsoft do not. And Sony have Sony Pictures, which does TV, it does movie. Sony has a big stake in anime. I think it was it Crunchyroll or Funiplex? I don't know, anime all that well.
Funimation.
But my point is, I appreciate that Sony are leveraging what they can do rather than trying to compete with something that they can't do.
Yeah, I understand that, you know, and I totally get it. And I actually would have expected them to implement this sooner, right? There's a little tiny fly in the ointment at the moment, though. And it's a tiny fly called Netflix.
Yeah.
Because Sony have just signed a deal with Netflix, or Netflix have just signed a deal with Sony to basically stream Sony Pictures.
Yeah, but them sort of deals aren't like global. Them sort of deals are per specific territories.
Yeah. Which is why I'm thinking this PlayStation Video Pass might also be territorial at the beginning before they roll it out to all the places.
They usually do that, don't they? It's like, we're going to try this new type of bus, so we're going to put it in specific areas until we figure out all the kinks, and then we'll roll it out nationally. This is basically the same, but like with territories rather than like buses and, you know, whatnot.
Yeah, it's just the Netflix fly in the ointment is quite a big fly. Not as tiny as I made it out to be. I mean, it is one of those things. So, you know, Netflix and Sony Pictures Entertainment they've signed an exclusive first pay window licensing deal.
Yeah, but I'm not going to like sit it and fly in the ointment because there's so many sort of nuances and ramifications of these contracts that, let's say, signed the contract with Netflix for the streaming rights, and just a devil's advocate, when you get these games or movies through this proposed video pass, in the same way that when you go on your PlayStation account and it's got this archive of things that you can download to your machine, play whenever, over and over again, as long as you've got that PlayStation Plus subscription, I'm picturing it as a separate bit under it that says TV and movies, in which it's got access to these movies that you can download over and over again at your leisure. It's not streaming, so technically it's not the same thing as Netflix, because that's what Netflix operates on. That's just me sort of thinking
Netflix, I mean, Netflix allows you to download stuff as well. But
it's not machine dependent, is it?
Well, no, Netflix isn't machine dependent or anything like that. So I'm envisioning this more like Amazon, which is why I made the parallel to Amazon rather than Netflix at the beginning. Because it basically works in, I envisioned this would work in the same way as Amazon Prime, or Prime Video, I should say. So you'll have movies and TV shows and stuff like that. One of the things that would attract, I mean, this is automatically going to be included, from what we've seen, it's automatically going to be included in PlayStation Plus, which I still think is a good thing. I agree with you. I think it's a great thing for Sony to be leveraging what they've got access to already.
Which Microsoft can't compete with. Yeah.
What concerns me is the fact that with this exclusivity deal that they've signed with Netflix, a lot of their content, their future content, is going to be with Netflix. And so what Sony's got access to is a lot of the stuff they've already created. And going forward, the new stuff will be on Netflix.
It's sort of awkward things about contracts, isn't it? I mean, if I was going to play devil's advocate, what I really want PlayStation Plus to be is an archive for all of PlayStation's historic exclusives. So going back, your stuff like Gravity Rush 2, The Order 1886, I've not got a list in front of me, but those earlier PlayStation 4 exclusives, put them on there under the PlayStation Plus collection. That's improving its value proposition, which is what these arguments about PlayStation have got to compete with Game Pass all come down to. It's the value of what you're getting.
Yeah, and not only that, I think what would help with PlayStation Plus, right? Because you know they release these new games added, these new games get added to the PlayStation Plus collection every month.
Well, not the collection, no, but you get free to add to your collection. It's really odd terms.
Yeah, your personal collection.
There's the PlayStation Plus collection, which is ones that you can only get in the PlayStation 5, but you add new games every month to your PlayStation collection, so it's kind of odd, muddy terms.
Right.
Really.
Yeah, it is muddy terms, but what I would love to see PlayStation do is say, right, this is, and for this, I would actually pay a little bit more in subscription per month, right? I would actually pay a little bit more for this. Give me access to the entirety of the PlayStation Plus collection that you've got, so that you've released so far. Not just the ones that I basically download. Just basically say, right, you're paying for PlayStation Plus, so you automatically get access to these things, right? All of these games, and we'll add more to these games every month. You don't need to download them or anything like that to your console. You don't need to add them to your PlayStation Plus library. You already have access to these, right? And I'd pay a little bit more for that. Then I've got a bank of games already there that I'm that I have access to that become part of my collection, going back all the way to the beginning of the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially we're saying the same thing there.
Well, the reason I'm saying it like that is because if you don't download the PlayStation Plus games to your collection, you lose access to them when it flips over.
Yeah, but there's contractual things in that which are boring to talk about, but it's muddy.
But,
it's muddy stuff.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on to Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox had some interesting news. Xbox Live Gold?
Yes.
Right. Well, Microsoft have been playing around with a couple of things, and I'm hoping that this is a sign of other things to come in the future. But there's over 50 Xbox titles on Xbox Live Gold that are going to be free to download and play online as part of a new update.
Okay.
So Xbox players will no longer require an Xbox Live Gold subscription to access the online multiplayer sections of these free-to-play titles. And that's, I think, quite an interesting move for Microsoft to actually make, because It goes into this whole thing that Xbox Live Gold is starting to be wound down and replaced with Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, what I think here is, it's about time that started mothballing this requirement of needing PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live Arcade, like Xbox Live Gold, whatever it's called, to play games online. Because the money that you're paying for these services, for PlayStation Plus, you're playing for the monthly games, the PlayStation Plus collection. With Xbox Live, you're essentially not doing that anymore. People are mainly gravitating, they're gravitating more and more towards Game Pass, which includes that anyway. So you're paying for these services, for the games that come with them, for the added benefits. Nobody subscribes to PlayStation. Well, I wouldn't say nobody, but it's a limited number of people who continuously subscribe to PlayStation Plus or Games Pass because of the free internet access for games.
Yeah.
So it's getting to that point where maybe it's time to start rolling that away and forgetting about it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, I mean, this seems to be one of those things that they really should have kind of implemented before the consoles were actually released. It's the kind of thing that I would have, that if it was me in charge, I would have had these things in place, or at least had them within the first month of the console, of the new console coming out. That, you know, again, suggests to me that not only the PlayStation 5, but also the Xbox Series X and S were released too early.
I wouldn't say the S. I think the S is released too late. I don't think there's an awful lot of longevity to that. But what you're saying, I do agree with. Not so much on the console, although I think there's shortcomings on the PlayStation 5, which they've had to sort of fix through software.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, yeah, they kind of are a bit released too soon. They should have overhauled the services for like the big new generation refresh. And a part of that should have been you don't have to pay to play games online, because honestly, the world has evolved past that. Well, not the world, that makes it sound really weird, but technology has evolved past that.
Paying to play an online game, or paying to go online to play a game, is kind of...
Because effectively, online, you're paying for the internet twice, aren't you?
Well,
you
mean...
put it down to it.
Even worse than that, it's early noughties internet cafe stuff. Or, you know, as they call it in... I've forgotten which country it is that calls it PC Bang. Which I always love that.
It's just an amazing name. It's probably Korea, honestly. Yeah. It feels very Korean.
Yeah, but PC Bang is just, you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that is Korean.
If I ever open a computer repair shop, it is going to be called that.
PC Bang. Yeah, it's a great name, isn't it?
So,
of course, I'm completely innocent in China. Yeah. Not in Korea, sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on to some big esports news. Big esports news. In fact, probably the biggest esports news, well, ever.
Whoa, am I the wrong person to be on this news story?
Oh, no, because this also includes VR.
Oh, go on.
Right. This week, the International Olympic Committee announced the Olympic Virtual Series, the first ever Olympic-licensed event for esports, which is going to be in partnership with the IOC, five international sports federations, and game publishers. Now, I know...
In case you never heard that.
No, the thing is, they can talk about... Yeah. It's a long-suffering sigh from Rob. See, the thing is, they can talk about League of Legends, World Championships, and stuff like that. But if you go to any of those League of Legends champions and say, hey, do you want to wave your flag as part of your country's flag as part of the Olympics? They'll go, hey, you can have this trophy back, Riot Games. I'm going over there.
It's all about money. That's the thing with esports players. It is all about money.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
See, the thing is, the series is going to take place between May the 13th until June the 13th, and is they reckon it will rally gaming fans globally to reach a new new Olympic audiences. I'm like,
Here's the thing. This is basically like the granddad saying, oh, what's cool? What are the cool kids doing? Oh, I heard about this esports thing. What's that, Sonny Jim? And no. The reason why I have a problem with it called esports is effectively the Olympics. When they're in the Olympics, they start training very hard from 7, 8 years old. It becomes everything in their life. Every aspect of their life is hoovered up by this. They are become a specimen for improving their body, improving their craft, and comparing playing games professionally to that sort of pursuit, I honestly find a little bit insulting.
It depends on the games. And this is where the VR comes in, right?
But the thing is, this is just my personal stance. Yeah. I know people disagree with me, but I'm not backing down on this.
Like I said, it does depend on the games, right? Because some games require a bit more athleticism than others.
All the athleticism in regarding games is stamina.
Yeah.
That's it.
No. When I say athleticism, I mean like some games, and when you include the VR aspect of things, you know, athleticism becomes a bit more important.
Here's the thing. It's like calling darts players sportsmen.
Yeah. This is the thing. The series events are going to include baseball, cycling, rowing, sailing, and motorsports. So there's no sign of League of Legends or any of that stuff in this. There's no sitting down in a chair, clicking a mouse or hitting keyboards. There's basically going to be a lot of hand, arm, leg movements because it's VR.
That I'm more on board with.
Do you see what I mean? And that's why I'm a bit more into... I'm not so much into watching somebody wearing a VR helmet waving his hands about. You know, that I find quite dull.
What it comes down to for me is sports means physicality.
Yeah, and that's what I mean because...
And gaming isn't physicality. Gaming is a sedentary lifestyle, a pastime.
VR gaming...
But this isn't.
VR gaming is a bit more physical, and that's why I think the athleticism needs to be there. And...
Yeah, I'd agree with that to an extent, yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. As you said, stamina plays a part of it, but you need to...
No, I mean generic... Esports.
Yeah.
The only reason for exercise is stamina to play this game for a long time.
See.
Whereas it's a bit more. Yeah, I'm not going to get into it because I've already explained myself.
See, I would love it, you know, with League of Legends, if they did like a VR version of League of Legends and these teams who played League of Legends basically had to do it as VR. So their teams would be VR teams and they have to go through in a virtual environment. So they're basically running on a treadmill and stuff like that. Let's see how long you lasted in actual battle.
Yeah, I'm not the target audience of VR. Not VR even, but esports, I'm not the target guy for esports. I just cannot stand a single thing about it. Hate it.
See,
but there we go.
You know, I'm still on the fence. I think there's a place for esports, but, you know, what that place is, I think VR will be the ultimate place for esports, not the way it is right now.
One thing, if it wasn't called eSports, I wouldn't have a problem with it. That's it.
It's the sports part.
It's the sports word. It's got nothing to do with sports, so don't. Yeah, just...
The interesting thing about what you... there's an interesting comment you made in that previous story, right? Which leads directly into this next story. Because you said, this is like granddad's view of gaming. Yeah?
Okay. what have I done?
You kind of led me straight into this next story, which... okay, the numbers may have been boosted by the pandemic, but they're unlikely to account for the entirety of the growth in this particular bit of market research. Now, a firm called Global Web Index has done this research, and they have discovered that there's a growing appetite for games among older audiences, and that gamers are often portrayed in the media in a certain way. But as with many stereotypes, they aren't necessarily who you think they are, right? Their data suggests that there's been a massive 32% increase, right, in older gamers. And by older gamers, we mean granddad. We mean between 55 and 64 years old.
Good. Honestly, good. Because if the audience, what games are, changes, the types of games that get made changes. And this makes me think of manga as well. People have this perception of manga being aimed at sort of horny teenagers who like big boobs and that's about it. But no, in Japan, manga is for everybody. There's different types of manga for different audiences and different groups and different social... Everything is represented.
Yeah,
people reduce it to for kids.
That's,
games are the same.
That's the thing.
That's good.
Actually, your analogy with manga is really, really appropriate. Because what they did with manga very early on, they basically started separating manga into for into the manga for, I mean, manga for kids is off to one side, but then you have manga for like teenage boys and adolescents, which is the shonen manga. And then you've got the seinen manga, which is the much more mature storylines. Same with for girls, for teenage girls and adolescents, you had the shoujo manga, and then you had the jose manga, which is for much more mature audiences. Yeah?
Something for everybody.
Yeah, something for everybody. And a lot of the manga that I've suggested to you has been of the seinen type. It's been a lot more mature, much more mature, well-developed storylines, you know, more interesting characters who have a lot more depth to them than you'd find in your typical One Piece, Bleach, whatever. Yeah? And I'm not belittling One Piece. One Piece does have some complex characters, but, you know, they're also, it also is more of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants manga as well. But...
He's saying that because I like One Piece, but let's move on.
I like One Piece as well.
Let's move on. But get stuck on that.
The fact that these get, you know, there's been this increase in gamers, you know, between 55 and 64, it's been grown by 32% in three years. Mobile gamers over 45, it's risen by 17% year over year in 2020.
Okay, I want to just sort of divorce this from the stats as well. This is something which people will overlook. You who are listening to this now, you're going to get old, you know.
Yeah.
I know you might still be playing games. So, at least in my case, the games industry sort of evolved with my generation because a lot of my generation are making the games. So I would like to think that as we get older, games and the style of games that are made skew older. So, you know.
Yeah.
Games age with you.
Yes, games do age with you. And a lot of these older gamers regard, you know, playing games with their grandkids or their kids as family time, which is...
But the thing here is, though, it's just the fact, we have to stress when games do evolve, we don't want... I mean, there's movies that apply to, like, Grey Pound, which is movies like the Best Marigold Exotic Hotel or whatever the words are. That's what you want to avoid. You don't want to make games that pander to old people, like old people, like, oh, relaxing and talking and doing nothing strenuous. Get rid of that.
Yeah.
It has to, like, tailor towards older gamers in a bit more of a broad spectrum.
Do you know what I would envision as a great game for older gamers is God of War?
Well, yeah, because it's about family.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, you have a more mature, more grizzled character at the head of it. Last of Us, again, is another game that appealed to a lot of older gamers that I know, I would say. This isn't based on market research, just based on my own experiences as an older gamer.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that unites them both is the both stories that tell an emotional tale that can be related to people from various age groups.
So maybe then, with this research coming out, maybe Sony is actually onto something when they wanted to make more narrative-driven stories. And
yeah, just as long as they don't do Best Marigold Exotic Hotel, like video game, the movie.
Yeah, at that point, if they do Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, you know, as a video game, then I'm out. Because
yeah, I think that's me done as well.
And Sony, please do not do the video game version of Last Tango in Paris as well, because I will be out totally then.
Yeah,
you won't see the back of me.
It's just. There's a line, don't cross it.
Yeah, do you know who crossed the line?
No.
Another company that has no concept of age and appropriateness and just kind of, maybe this isn't a good idea. Ubisoft.
What did it now?
Right. Ubisoft is releasing a series of children's books. And these are children's books called Mr. Men and Little Miss, which are aimed at very, very, very young children.
Nursery age, yeah. Basically.
And, yeah, the first three of their books are going to star Mr. Ezio, Little Miss Cassandra, and Little Miss Eivor, representing Renaissance-themed Assassin's Creed 2, the ancient Greek Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and the most recent release, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, respectively.
I love this, because this reminds me of the 90s, when they had like R-rated action movies, and they made toys aimed at small children.
Exactly. Promote them. This is like the most bizarre thing I've seen in recent years in video games.
When I was a kid, Terminator 2 was being released.
Yes.
And I got a toy, which was basically like a figurine of the Terminator. It was like, he didn't move, he didn't have like pliable figures. And you had this like clay stuff. You dipped him in the clay and you could peel his flesh off, revealing the exoskeleton underneath. This is aimed at kids. This is what the 90s were. I love that toy. I wonder what happened to it. this is the world we're getting into now.
You know, it's a bizarre thing though. Who at Ubisoft thought this was a good idea?
Well, I think Ubisoft have like a problem when it comes to ideas being good.
You're not wrong there. But I mean, just the whole, yeah. I mean, what's next on their list of things? I mean, of all of the Ubisoft properties, what could be next on their things? Are they going to do, I don't know, a Ladybird?
Plushies for Far Cry.
Plushies for Far Cry. The Ladybird book on The Division.
Yeah.
You know, My First Division or something like that.
My First Hacking, like, book.
Do you know what this reminds me of? I've just realized what this reminds me of. Do you remember back when we used to do The Geek Show as a podcast, and we did all, and I used to find some of the weirdest news? Well, we also did the similar thing on Literary Loitering. And one of the bizarre stories that came out on Literary Loitering was that the NRA, the National Rifle Association in America, were revamping certain children's fairy tales to include weaponry.
Usually it's the other way around. It's like the legend of E.T. having a re-edit where they replace all the guns with walkie-talkies. So NRA putting all the guns back in.
Yes, basically.
Not much more to be said about this. It's just kind of like a weird trend in marketing. You know, it's like age-blind marketing.
I mean, this is the thing, though. I mean, Little Red Riding Hood has a gun. That's the level of this.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's not the only thing that, the only strange thing that Ubisoft have dipped their toes into. Because they have decided that they're going to continue their efforts and support and explore blockchain technology, and they have joined the Tezos ecosystem as a corporate baker. Now, a baker is a term that Tezos uses for a corporate node, which is basically, it validates transactions on the blockchain. You don't need to know about the technical terms of that, okay? What you do need to know that is, you know these NFTs that are going around? These non-fungible tokens, right? They are part of the blockchain thing. Now, Ubisoft going down this road suggests to me that they are looking to incorporate blockchain into their, in-game, in-app purchases, in-game purchases technology, and start doing unique things in their online games, like a unique weapon here, or something that you can transfer between people, which could then increase in value. So basically, if you're playing an online game or something like that with Ubisoft, you might be able to find the single instance of this particular outfit or this particular weaponry, which is a non-fungible token. That is something that I'm worried that Ubisoft are going to go down that route. Am I worried for a reason?
Well, yeah, you're rightly worried, because Ubisoft are the sort of company who will try and get money whoever they can. Kind of crass when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at the strategy with like microtransactions in everything. It kind of tells you their moral fiber. So the fact that they might be working in non-fungible stuff, kind of, it's just the example in a long list of things that they've done.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that I don't want to see games go down, because I think that's a slippery slope. As soon as you basically, do you remember when World of Warcraft first came out?
Nope.
Right. Back when World of Warcraft first came out, people were basically selling like World of Warcraft accounts that had this particular item or that particular item, and they were selling them for quite a lot of money. And I think if this becomes a common thing and Ubisoft lead the charge, there's going to be a lot of real world money spent on items that don't exist.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a big problem. But we'll see.
We'll see.
It's one to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Anyway, a few quick stories to get through. Amazon cancelled its Lord of the Rings game, and unlike what a lot of people have made out, it wasn't the big brouhaha, and it basically had to do with contractual things the company that Amazon made the contract with to make the Lord of the Rings MMO game, they basically got bought by Tencent, and then Tencent and Amazon couldn't decide on terms. So the game's done.
Yeah, Amazon haven't got the greatest luck so far when it comes to the releasing games.
They really don't.
Maybe it might be time to sort of cut, draw a line in the sand and think, you know what, we had a good old try. Maybe it isn't to be.
Yeah, let's stop trying to make games. Let's just publish them instead. That's what a lot of people... I mean, what's it? The guy who... was it Apogee Games made Duke Nukem?
I can't remember. But Amazon put their weight behind publishing games. I reckon they could do an awful lot of good.
Yeah. Another quick story. Discord have ended their acquisition talks with Microsoft and other suitors and decided that they're going to stay independent, which will make a lot of Discord people happy.
I imagine they believe they have more value independent than they do under the wing of another organisation, which is fair play to them.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Fair play. CD Projekt Red managed to make a hell of a lot of money, even though they lost tens of millions. Well, 30,000 Cyberpunk 2077 copies were refunded.
And you can't buy it on PlayStation.
And you can't buy it on PlayStation.
Digitally, anyway.
But yeah, they still made over $200 million.
Yeah, again, I guess it just goes to show that outside of the bubble of the internet, things don't have as large an impact as the internet believes them to.
Yeah, exactly.
But on that, they have readdressed how their due practices going forward, so some good has come out of this besides the bizarre profit margin.
Yeah, and Twitch continues to grow. I mean, we made the comment, we covered Twitch's growth in a story a few weeks ago, but Twitch is by far and away outstripping just about every other streaming platform, Facebook and YouTube streaming in particular. The hours watched on Twitch are up by 97% in the first quarter.
I get the feeling that the number of people actually engage with Twitch is smaller than the numbers let on. It's just the people who do engage with it an awful lot.
Yeah, and that's the bizarre thing, because there are pretty well-known streamers from Twitch who are making the jump from Twitch to YouTube. But Twitch is actually growing at a pace that far outstrips YouTube. And so, you know, it does make the question, why are these streamers moving to YouTube and saying YouTube is a better platform for the future, but Twitch is still growing all, you know, at this accelerated rate? I can't...
Well, it's one of those things, isn't it? I mean, just because something's growing doesn't mean it's growing in ways which are complementary to the users and the content creators on there.
True. This is very, very true.
Which is what I've heard. A lot of the Twitch users don't particularly like the back room politics and policies that Twitch has, much in the same way that a lot of bigger YouTubers are constantly complaining that YouTube is awful.
Yeah. I mean, Facebook Gaming is the one that's really experienced some rapid growth over the last year as well, or over the first quarter of this year. That's basically doubled its audience, so...
There's a ceiling on that, though, because a lot of people despise Facebook.
Yeah, a lot of people despise Facebook, and the fact that you have to, well, you have to be on Facebook to use Facebook Gaming.
It's like that Oculus Quest 2, which sounds amazing, but you need to be signed into Facebook, and I'd rather not.
Yeah, exactly.
The only reason I've still got a Facebook account is because of the Messenger, but that's it.
Yes.
Which is true of a lot of people, I suspect.
Yes, it is. Anyway, that has been your news. It's time for a bit of trailer trash. Now, the new Mortal Kombat film has come out in the US, and it's not out in the UK, so I think we're still okay to talk about the trailer for the new Mortal Kombat film. And there are bits of it that I think are interesting.
Yes.
I'd like, there's a part of my brain, when I sit down and watch anything that involves Mortal Kombat, that goes back to me sitting in a cinema in the 90s, and then the trailer for that Mortal Kombat movie comes on with the techno music, and there's someone going, Mortal Kombat! And I just, my brain can't move past that, you know?
Brain can't move past the fact that it's Mortal Kombat, the movie. Mortal Kombat, although, I mean, fighting games have become much more in depth with their story mode in recent years, it's still about fundamentally a bunch of people in a combat trying to kill each other, and the person who doesn't get killed wins.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
In the vast history of martial arts cinema, that's a bit basic. And martial arts cinema isn't known for having stories beyond, you want to fight? Okay, that's fighting talk. Let's fight.
Yeah, do you know what film that was? You know, the film that was, do you want to fight? That's fighting talk. Let's fight. But also it involved a lot of rather attractive characters of the female persuasion. I'm being careful with my words. Was the awful, awful, awful Dead or Alive adaptation.
Yeah.
I don't know how Eric Roberts signed his name up to that.
My problem here is this just looks garbage.
Yes.
Yeah, the aesthetics might be on point.
The effects might be better.
James Wan might be a fairly decent director. I'd never call him a good director. I honestly think he's one of the most overrated working today. And he's everything he does gets hyped beyond belief. And I don't understand why. He's perfectly middle-of-the-road journeyman.
Mm.
But, you know, why not? He's amazing, apparently. But at the end of the day, it's still got a guy in a ninja suit going, get over here! And if you don't think that is the stupidest shit, I think you've got problems.
See, this is the thing. I'm looking at that. That was the bit of the trailer where I basically lost interest, was when he went, get over here. I'm like, oh, why? Why
did See, if I saw that in the cinema, I'd walk out. Honestly, I'd walk out.
Do you know the bizarre thing, right? This is the crazy, 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 stupid part of this. Warner Brothers also released the first 7 minutes of the film, which we aren't talking about. But in the first 7 minutes of the film, the guy who eventually becomes Scorpion, only speaks Japanese. The guy who eventually becomes Sub-Zero only speaks Chinese, right? And they don't talk, they don't understand each other. They don't understand what each other's saying. Well, to a degree. Sub-Zero apparently speaks some Japanese as well. But none of them speak English. So there is no get over here or I am Sub-Zero or any of that nonsense. If they did that in Chinese and Japanese, I would have been still into the trailer. I would have gone, okay, right, that's fine. But somehow, somehow between the beginning of the film and the events that happened in that trailer, they've miraculously learned to speak fluent English.
Yeah, my problem is it's a Mortal Kombat movie and I have literally less than zero interest in ever watching a Mortal Kombat movie ever again in my life. I've watched two movies and that's two movies too many. It's about people fighting with stupid superpowers. And I'm not the target audience. I realise that it has a target audience. It's just, let's be honest, the target audience of Mortal Kombat isn't what it used to be.
No.
It's much, 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 much smaller. They are banking on this idea of people my age and older thinking, oh, hey, Mortal Kombat, I played that when I was a kid. I wonder what this is about.
Hang on, have they looked at the same research, the same market research that we've looked at this week?
Yeah, but honestly, let's be fair, the audience for Mortal Kombat now, the game, isn't enough to sustain this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't see Mortal Kombat, the game, as family time gaming. It's not the kind of game that you play with granddad.
No, but let's be fair, there's so many other video games that could make a good movie, and this isn't even on the list, so I'm really puzzled as to why this is being made.
You got me. It's not the one that I thought was going to get made either. I thought of all of the fighting games that you could remake, right? And we've seen just how bad some fighting game, adaptations have been. I've mentioned DOA. I have to mention Street Fighter 2, the movie. Or was it Street Fighter, the movie? I can't remember. The one with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Kylie Minogue. As like yes. The strangest casting in a movie that is about a fighting game was including a singer in there.
As a member of the military police.
The UN peacekeeping force. I'm like, I've played Street Fighter. The UN is not in there at all.
Yeah. I mean, I'm much more interested in isn't it development of the Metal Gear Solid game, because there's mythology there. There's a massive amount of mythology and characters and unique things going on there, which have a bit more depth than you want to fight in this fighting tournament to the death, bro.
Yeah,
let's fight in this fighting tournament to the death.
Well, I mean, I know that a lot of people have been speculating on on a new Metal Gear game coming out. I know that there's there's all sorts of people speculating on that. But, you know, I'm waiting for more concrete details before I would even, suggest anything like a movie being made or a new game or anything.
End of the day, I don't think this is going to do quite as well as the hope.
See, I don't either. I think partly because of the pandemic, but I think that, it's a game where you kill people, or a game where death is basically the thing. And I think at this point, as fun as certain parts of the film might be, you really want to sit there and watch it?
Problem is, gamers will have a go of it. But beyond that, I think it'll struggle to pull many people in.
Yeah.
That's what it all comes down to.
Yeah.
This was basically made because James Wan is a very profitable director and he wanted to do it. If it wasn't anybody else, it wouldn't have been made.
Yeah. This is.
I suspect.
This is true. Right. Okay. So, we're at the end.
Yes. Thank you very much for watching. If you are listening to this on a podcast provider, thank you and please do consider subscribing. I think in the back half of the show, there isn't a back half of the show, so that sentence is really misleading. But if you watched on YouTube, thank you very much. Consider subscribing, hitting that like button, and checking out our Patreon. The link will be on the screen right now. But until next time with more news trash, thank you. Thank you very much for listening or watching, and we will see you later.
Bye!